So the next talk will be by Ricardo de la Favera from Columbia University, talking about lymphocytes and cancer through mechanism of B-cell lymphomatogenesis.
So significant change of theme from immunity against tumor to immune cells becoming tumor, so particularly B-cells. So I'll be talking about the mechanism of B-cell lymphoma, particularly of diffuse large B-cell lymphoma, and toward the most of the talk will be to so new type of mechanism generating genetic lesion and gene dysregulation. So introduction of B-cell lymphomas, B-cell lymphoma derived from B-cells, of course, and so, but they have a lot to do with germinal center. So brief introduction, although this is a mostly immunology crowd on germinal center, because a number of concepts will be useful for me for later on. B-cells come from the bone marrow, of course, and they rearrange immunoglobulin gene. They come to the periphery as naive B-cells, or have not seen the antigen. I'm simplifying dramatically immunology. The encounter with the antigen for T-dependent antigen are usually a low affinity encounter, but that unleashes the germinal center reaction that initially is hyperproliferative, doubling time 10 to 12 hours, believed to be the fastest proliferation rate for mammalian cells. During that proliferation, the cells hypermutate the variable region immunoglobulin genes, and as a consequence of that, there will be loss of the original affinity, and a minority of cells increased affinity, and cells that have lost affinity to the antigen will die of apoptosis, where through a number of signals that I will not summarize, and the cells will become affinity selected to become memory cell and plasma cells. So this simple introduction to say that there are genomic modifications throughout the life of a B cell, particularly focusing on germinal centers that are unique to lymphocytes and some unique to B cells, they are very useful to determine high specificity humoral immunity, but they do present some risk in terms of genomics. And in fact, if we look at the most common human malignancies, acute lymphoblastic leukemia originates from immature cells, and most of the 40 or so type of B-cell lymphomas that pathologists have identified through the years, most of them, and particularly the particularly diffuse large B-cell lymphoma, which is the most common, but follicular lymphoma, the second most common, have an intimate relationship with the germinal center determined by the fact that they have genetic irreversible markers determining germinal center relationship, since they have hypermutated immunoglobulin genes and some have undergone to class switch recombination. Those events that I said are, of course, immunologically useful, present some risks, and in fact, I have to tell you what is, in terms of what's important to oncogenesis, the particular environment in terms of risk for tumorigenesis or a germinal center. And I use a gene that we and others, including Lou, have identified years ago, BCL6, which is a master regulator of germinal center, meaning if you take away BCL6 in a mouse, cells will skip the germinal center reactions. And it's a transcriptional repressor and instructs important biology of a germinal center. So in the first phase, it will modulate through direct gene repression the sensing and response to DNA damage that we interpret as the necessity to the cells to allow a certain degree of genomic damage, meaning single and double-strand DNA break involving hypermutation and class switch recombination. It downregulates the cell cycle arrest genes, BCL2, as allowing cell death or favoring cell death if not rescued, for reasons that we still don't understand. Although the cell proliferate a lot, they downregulate BCL6, downregulates MYC, and then suppresses a large program of signals from the outside, and it represses the master regulator of plasma cell, PRDM1, also known as and BLIMP1, which will come into play later in the talk. So the successful B cells that is selected for phi affinity will then receive signal from the B cell receptor for a number of other signal, again, forgive the simplification, and through a number of pathway will downregulate BCL6, and the cell will now become biologically, I would say, normal. They can differentiate, respond to signal. They can respond to DNA damage like any other cells in the body, probably. So a key point, again, remember, one of the key points to get to normal maturation is downregulation of BCL6. If one looks at even the cytogenetics of genetics of these lymphomas, chromosomal translocations that don't generate gene fusion but deregulate gene expression by putting heterologous promoters, often immunoglobulin genes. So the genome is dominated by chromosomal translocation and by what we call in the past aberrant somatic hypermutation. A number of hypermutation around the genome beside the immunoglobulins, and it's all mediated by this enzyme activation-induced deaminase that mediates normally class switch recombination and somatic hypermutation. The purpose of this line is that you make a mouse without AID, you'll have a histologically normal germinal center, you'll have these two functions blocked. That mouse will not able to generate the germinal center-derived tumors, no matter which oncogenes you put on other genetic manipulation that you do. So this is just to say that the AID function is one of the important components when it's malfunctioned to generate the genetic lesion that underlies a lot of the pathogenesis of diffuse large B-cell lymphoma and other lymphomas. So background, mostly now necessary to be made because the genetics of diffuse large cell lymphoma has made a lot of progress through the pioneering work of Liu, and he will talk a lot about this. First, during gene expression profiling, dividing into GCB and ABC, subtype depending on cell of origin from different phases of a germinal center. And the importance is that that was one of the first genomic definition defining different prognosis based on the standard immunochemotherapy. And more recently, again, Margaret Shipp group and again, Lustout group put together panels, I may say, of genetic classification of diffuse large cell lymphoma based on the genetic lesions of coding genes, copy number variation, mutation in genes, and chromosomal translocation that many laboratories, including mine, have identified and biologically characterized through the years. And this is how we stand now with different subgroups of diffuse large B-cell lymphoma based on genetics. And this is just, again, a revisitation of Liu groups will serve as introduction of what's really the purpose of my talk, that there are now subdivision of the ABC and the GCB and unclassified in different subgroup characterized to some extent by alteration of distinct biological problem that are primarily genetically altered. And I would like to, because it is, it's not here, okay, I'll forget about it. I would like to stress the point that is the introduction to what's coming in my talk, that this is clearly a major classification, but, and it's clearly involving by mutation of coding domain, copy number variation, or chromosomal translocation affect only a very tiny proportion of the genome. As you know, the rest, large majority of the genome is not coding. So our idea was, and it's not an original idea, looking at chromosomal translocations in these tumors that often, actually always, they don't generate new gene products, but just they deregulate the expression of normal proteins. And therefore, the cascade of events, particularly transcription factors, but also survival mechanisms that allows the complex development of a germinal center is more a deregulatory role rather than a new protein product mechanism. And so we were encouraged to look at outside coding domains because many years ago, we had reported this phenomenon that is called aberrant somatic hypermutation, in which an AID-mediated mechanism that normally hits immunoglobulin variable region hits the non-coding domain also, sometimes into a coding of multiple genes, a lot of transcribed genes. Over 50 type of genes are hit by biallelic hypermutation, clearly with the hallmark of AID mechanism. But for many years, because some of this mutation included intron domain, non-coding domain, extra gene domains, we would not interpret any, could not give any functional significance to this otherwise massive phenomenon that involved many genes with a lot of genetic alteration. So we took a different approach. And we said, let's find the regulatory domain outside or inside coding domain and see whether they are affected by genetic lesion that could complement the coding domain genetic cataloging of these tumors. And so what we did is look for identifying diffuse large cell lymphoma and answer or super enhancer. Essentially, we took 29 cell lines representative of the major subgroup of diffuse large cell lymphoma and also some normal germinal centers samples. And with the ChIP-seq using the chromatin modifier, identifying to some extent active enhancer function. And we look at the DNA that was brought down by active enhancer or the same DNA where this in other regions, in other cell lines, they were not active. And look at the sequence, and we found it mutated, as we'll see, and then verify whatever we found in a large panel of 93 DLBCL, now in collaboration with the Vancouver group, Ryan Morin, on many more cases. And the result was actually, this shows that just the activity of superenhancer varies in different cell lines, depending to some extent on their phenotype, GCB versus ACB, but so we can identify active and non-active superenhancer. And the bottom line summarized here for cell lines is that a significant higher level of mutations in active superenhancer, but not in the same region where it's inactive in other cell lines. There are a number of controls here, not only in activity, but control for same size sequences, random sequences around the genome, total genome normalized for size, is a clearly significant fact. We call it hypermutation because there are three base pair changes for each kilobase. So it's something quite visible, like the figure I showed you before from the previous paper. And for cell lines, there are a number of hypermutated superenhancer, variable number, but in a few of them for each cell lines. This is not a cell line phenomenon, and in fact, this can be verified in primary cases where we took the same regions, the DNA identified by active and superenhancer, and we found the same phenomenon, more evident in superenhancer. Of course, it doesn't have to do with size, but less in enhancer. And it's no apparent difference at this stage, confirmed on larger panel, between the two subtypes of GCB and BC, although the identity of the enhancer that are mutated is different. Now, this is, again, as we expected, AID determined, so activation-induced deaminase hypermutation phenomenon, and we look at the signatures in this tumor. In fact, the classic AID signature or the non-classic AID determined probably by Polyta signature are the two major signatures that seem actually to be mirror image of each other. Either you have the classic one or the non-classic one in different cases. There's an inverse relationship between the two signature alone cases. So it's clearly the same enzymatic mechanism determining hypermutation in monoglobulin genes, again, for reason that we don't know, misfiring to a number of other regions, particularly superenhancer. So to see whether looking at superenhancer, we were looking just to a slice of phenomenon, or really was some specificity with there, we took an unbiased approach. So we asked using an algorithm that checks for cluster of mutation along the genome, algorithm called Fishhook, to see which were the major cluster of mutations throughout the genome, whole genome. And the answer was, which is not documented here, that there was a very high, over 90% overlapping between the superenhancer and the cluster of mutation that in an unbiased way Fishhook was identifying. And the other point of this slide, actually the point of this slide, is that if we look at then candidate genes that are linked to the superenhancer, I say candidates because it's based on three factors: expression in B cells, proximity to the superenhancer, and connectivity through a Hi-C data bank in germinal center cells. So this is pretty strong candidate. We see a lot of the major players in germinal center development, including some known oncogene, PAX5, BCL6, BCL2, a number of key regulator of a germinal center. And then we could rank the frequency by which the superenhancer was hypermutated. And we see again BCL6 being at the top of the list, and then a number of other important oncogenes or development regulator of a germinal center there. So as you see, the phenomenon is quite pervasive. It's probably over 100 superenhancer in different tumors collection that are hit by mutation. So the question is again, so what? What is the functional consequences of this? And so our first approach is to see whether the hypermutated superenhancers that are linked to genes of known, undisputed biological function, like BCL6 or BCL2, the hypermutation would do something to the expression of those genes. And also the second approach we took preliminarily within the large superenhancer, that is very large, to look at recurrency. So it's an old approach of cancer genetics. Look where the tumor keeps on hitting, and you'll find something important for the tumor. And in fact, there is a region within the first intron of BCL6, which is a superenhancer active, that is in this area hit. These are all different mutations that are found in the LBCL with a long, long list. And also we were fortunate that Larry Loeb in Seattle and did ultra deep sequencing in normal memory B cells, so post germinal center cell, and there was clear selection of mutation in this area, which will never happen in the slightly mutated area in normal germinal center derived cells. So we focus on this cluster of mutations, and the bias prediction algorithm of reverse chip mass spectrometry, it appears that this sequence here was a binding site for BLIMP1. And that was important because in this highly simplified pathway summary of a germinal center cell that receive BCR signaling, CD40 signaling, other signaling, BCL6 is shut off through a chain of events, and BCL6 represses BLIMP1, but BLIMP1 turns around and represses BCL6. So there's a circuit here that modulates BCL6 and in the meantime allows BLIMP1 to come up and become a plasma cell. But BLIMP does have a repressive effect on BCL6 on this sequence here that was hypermutated in our cases. And in fact, when we took with an old-fashioned gel retardation assay tumor-associated mutant, they found they failed to bind to the mutated oligo. This is the normal binding and super shift with BLIMP1. And the reverse, they fail to compete while the wild type compete and those don't compete. And by in vitro stimulated cells, we see that BLIMP1 actually does bind to that normally to that sequence. But when it's mutated, remember, is monoallelically mutated, there is a proportionally less binding there. So okay, that was suggesting that by preventing BLIMP1, and it could be important, but how important was that for the overall tumor biology, pathogenesis of the tumor? And so we directly addressed that question by correcting the mutation in a couple of cell lines. So we took the area that is mutant, and by CRISPR-Cas9 corrected to wild type, and with a number of controls for the same region was not expressed, other region control for cancer activity, a number that the paper will come out soon if you want to look at all the details will be there. But the main point is that there was counter-selection upon correction of the mutants. Clearly, all the controls were we were recovering clone. By minority of clone, a typical counter-selection was occurring. And those few clones, relatively few clones that were surviving, have in fact deleted the region of binding or done other compensative genetic maneuver to reconstitute somehow BCL6 binding or other genetic lesion that will compensate. So there was counter-selection, suggesting that this mutation has a role in maintaining the transformed phenotype. Okay, a second example again with BCL6 is a bit of the same routine. There is a super enhancer, this guy intragenic super enhancer. We have evidence now of intergenic super enhancer that are also hit by cypermutation and defining the target genes. And the same routine, look at where the mutations are. Now we have many more cases here. And that by prediction and by reverse chip and mass spec, the candidate binder was NR3C1. That was a surprise. This is a steroid, glucocorticoid receptor and a transcription factor already involved in tumorogenesis, in truncating mutation in 6% of BLL. There is actually some relationship to prognosis in that. What encouraged you to see that maybe there was something relevant here is that the inverse relationship between NRC3-1 and BCL2 in purified germinal center cells. So you see germinal center, dark zone, light zone, the two areas. There is evidence of NRC5 where BCL2 is completely absent normally from germinal center expression. And again, there was evidence, in fact, that there was binding of this transcription factor in normal B cells and in cells. And the same genetic experiment was done, in this case, mutant to wild type, complete counter-selection when you correct the mutation of the binding, where the controls are all here. And here we did also wild type to mutant. So we took cell lines which had a normal binding site and mutated like the tumors in other cases have done. And again, in that there is an increase in expression of BCL2. And when we have mutants, a dramatic increase, eventually BCL2 starts expressing at higher level when you allow to get rid of NC3R5. So again, these cells seem to be dependent on this mutation. And the last, and this is important again, because then, you know, BCL2 is normally not expressed in the germinal center. This is the normal germinal center, all positive for BCL6. But the mutation of the binding site may suggest an NRC5 failed to bind and modulate BCL6. I'm also done. And now we have a series of events, and this will make us busy for a long time, because many super enhancers are mutated, and so candidate biology and genes are accumulating. The last I want to show you may be going fast, because it's the same routine, CCR4, transmembrane receptor for the chemokine, already involved in tumorogenesis, few coding mutation in DLBCL, oncogenic dominant inactive mutation in Waldenström macroglobulinemia, again inverse expression with and prediction again of N3CR5. So this gene again, the glucocorticoid receptor, has a modulated effect on this gene. And I will not spend too much time. The same story, mutant to wild type or wild type to mutant, has a clear dependency on this mutation for survival of the phenotype and release of expression of this when we mutate the suppressor. Last slide. So the question becomes, how does this relate? And we are just, looking at the tip of the iceberg, because there are many more superenhancer mutated. How does this relate to the coding domain and to overall genetic of this tumor? And this shows a three example to make just a simple concept. In the case of BCL6, there is a number of cases that have mutated superenhancer, deregulated BCL6, independent of the translocation, although there are some overlap. And so a certain level of independence also from direct inactivation of PRDM1, so of BLIMP1. So there seems to be three different mechanisms, essentially all moving toward deregulating of BCL6. Different scenarios of BCL2, we see the mutation of superenhancer virtually always in cases that have BCL2 translocation. So that may be complementing the deregulating effect of the translocation, where again there is mutual exclusivity of direct mutation of a repressor and the mutant of the binding site over here. So we expect that when all the work will be done, it will take a long time, there will be more biology of genes like these two into the pathogenesis of BCL6, whether there will be other will be just complementing. And then we already know that are deregulated genes that we never thought, because they are not mutated in coding region, that they have an effect, but there will be new biological pathway that get involved. So in summary, superenhancer IP mutating DLBCL, a pervasive phenomenon, are caused by AAD, linked to proto-oncogene and a number of regulatory genes. Proof of concept that there is an effect for maintenance of phenotype from BCL6, BCL2, CCR4. And we think that this is a new layer of genetics that needs to be explored, both for the pathogenesis, because there'll be a lot of new genetic-based gene deregulation, and to complement the prognostic stratification of the DLBCL, which is based on coding domains. So this is done at Columbia, very important historic collaboration with Laura Pasqualucci's group, and a number of clinical collaborators, and bioinformatics done by Hossein Chiabainian group at Ratchinger University. So thank you very much.